Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with Millicue Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
I hear people say our best days are gone. Our people want united, can't even get along. A nation so divided, a country torn in two. It's such a shame after all that we've been through. We've always been a beacon, the world's one shining light. Are we gonna let it all go wrong for the sake of being right? Have we forgotten who we really are?
Storms, 9/11, September 11th, at this moment, 22 years ago, four American heroes, Todd Beamer, Mark Bingham, Jeremy Glick, and Tom Burnett, stormed the cockpit of Flight 93 and drove the plane into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That plane was headed for the Capitol building. According to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 commission said it may have been headed to the White House. Either way, he was heading to the White House or was heading to the Capitol, and the carnage is unfathomable. They would have killed thousands more, but these heroes took the plane down. Todd Beamer famously said, "Let's roll." Took the plane down. They're honoring him right now. They're honoring them right now in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, as we are recording this. They're honoring the other dead in New York City at Ground Zero and at the Pentagon, where Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin are speaking. And on this day, I'm not going to criticize them. I just watched them both speak. They did a fine job remembering their colleagues in the Pentagon who perished that day. It's a solemn day. It's an incredible day. They're reading all 2,977 names in New York of the victims of this Islamic terrorist attack. And your president is, what else? Sleeping. Yep, he's sleeping. He's in Alaska right now. The first time in 22 years, a sitting president has not been at the White House or at one of the other scenes of the crime.
But I'm going to go to bed.
Yes, he's going to go to bed. This, I thought today might be different. Today might be a day where he did the right thing, but unfortunately, it's not. Unfortunately, it's just another day where he disgraces this country, where he embarrasses this country. It's shameful right now to think he's snoring away in Alaska on 9/11. Does anyone know why he's in Alaska? No, nobody's quite sure. I've been looking for an explanation. He's on his way to Vietnam. He'll embarrass us in Vietnam the same way he did in India. We're going to get to it. He made a speech, and it was perhaps the most disgraceful, embarrassing, uncomfortable moment of his disgraceful presidency. There's no getting around it. There's no avoiding it. This is the president of the United States, and he is nowhere to be found on 9/11. I say this all the time. I'll say it again. He sucks at the job and every aspect of the job. But the thing he's worst at are the easiest things, the ceremonial things. The empathizer in chief could be in Shanksville right now. He could be honoring these incredible men who saved his life, saved the lives of all these people in Washington, D.C. He could be with Mark Bingham, Todd Beamer's family. He could say, let's roll, to a resounding ovation. Instead, again, he's snoring away. He could be in New York at Ground Zero as these people emotionally read all the names, and then they talk about their loved one who they lost that day. Kids talking about the grandparents they never met at Ground Zero. Just incredible strength and courage from these these survivors, these family members. We lost 3,000 people in New York. Another 5,000 have died from cancer, from 9/11 related cancer. It was the worst terror attack on our soil ever. I mean, it wasn't as bad as January 6th. We can get to the person who's just as big a disgrace as Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. God, what an embarrassment these two are. What an absolute shameful pair. But I watch this stuff every year. I was on the air at 8:46 22 years ago when the first plane hit the first tower. And we were watching NBC. We got a report from Katie Couric. We sat there and weren't sure what happened. We thought it was a small plane or a helicopter, a traffic copter. Oh, look, there's some aircraft went into the tower at 8:46. It was Flight 11 hitting the North Tower between floors 93 and 99. All the passengers aboard were killed instantly, along with hundreds, if not thousands, in the tower at that moment. Many others jumped to their death, or they perished when the towers collapsed. The firemen were running in as everyone was running out. That would be their last moments on this earth, these incredible heroes. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have nothing to say about this. Neither of them is appearing. It was 9:03:02. That would be 17 minutes later, the Flight 175 crashed into the South Tower between floors 77 and 85. All passengers, all crew members killed instantly. Parts of the plane came crashing to the ground, killing many, many others. One remarkable thing, there's many things I remember about 9/11, is as we're watching it, as we realize it's an Islamic terror attack, that these are fanatical Muslims looking to kill as many Americans, as many innocent people as possible. We thought initially, looking at the towers, knowing how big they are, knowing how many people worked in there, we're saying the death toll is going to be 50,000 or more. 50,000, we thought, was a reasonable estimate as we're watching them collapse. The death total was 3,000 because of the heroic efforts of the fire department and many, many others who, you know, all the people on the ground. A great story of a Morgan Stanley security guard who disobeyed his orders to keep everyone in the building and made everyone get out and saved 3,000 people who worked at Morgan Stanley. I just tweeted out, you got to read it. I mean, I was like getting choked up reading this, the story this morning. But at 9:23, Flight 93 was hijacked above Ohio. The passengers knew what had happened to the two other planes. They knew they were calling, they were using their phones, they were calling. They knew they were dead. They knew it was over. They knew that this was a suicide mission from these terrorists, even though the terrorists would tell them, just sit there and everything will be okay. We're just hijacking the plane. They stormed the cockpit when Todd Beamer said, let's roll. They brought the plane down in Shanksville and saved so many lives. Not that our president gives a damn. If he did appear in New York or in Shanksville, you know he'd be stumbling all over himself trying to ingratiate himself with the audience and steal some of their grief, some of the valor of these heroes. You know he'd be talking about his cat or his Corvette or his son, Bo, who died in that flight. I think it was 93, could have been 70. He was heroic, though. Bo stormed the cockpit with Todd Beamer. I'm sure we'd be hearing that. But I can't, I know I should be able to separate the two. We should look back at these heroes, look back at this day, how it affected America, how it changed America. Not nearly enough. Think of what Joe Biden, perhaps the biggest blunder of his 2.5 years in office, was attempting to withdraw from Afghanistan by 9/11 so he could stand there on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and brag that he got us out of Afghanistan. Obviously, it was ill-planned. It was rushed. He got 13 service members killed. He drone striked a family of 10 to save face, killed that family. And then hundreds of civilians on the ground were blown up. Many more were killed trying to get out, hanging on the plane as we left in a rush. So this scoundrel in the White House could boast and brag that he got us out on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. He was around that day, but not today. Not today. Today he's sleeping in. He's had a tough weekend in Asia, in India, and he's in Vietnam, and he's just going to continue to embarrass us. I guess
but I'm going to go to bed.
He just wants to go to bed. He just wants to get, I don't understand why you wouldn't take advantage of this. I mean, we know he's a shallow, narcissistic man. This is your opportunity. This is your moment where you can empathize, where you can be there. Just show up. That's all. Just show up. Be with the families. Be with the survivors. Be with some firemen. Show up. You're allegedly campaigning for re-election, and you're in Alaska. No one's quite sure why. No one. Why? I mean, I know it's close to Vietnam, but why would you choose Alaska on this day, this fateful day? It's just so inexplicable and stupid and foolish. But that is our president. Now, yesterday on September 10th, I don't want to brag, but I have satellite radio in my car.
Whoa!
I do. Yes, I do have satellite radio. In fact, I've learned how to do this. Every year when your subscription's up and they're ready to renew you, you have to call and tell them you're going to quit, tell them you're going to cancel, and they give you a deal. So this year, I didn't realize how expensive it was. I call and I say, I'm going to cancel. I don't need it anymore. And the guy says, you're paying $36 a month. And I said, what? I had no idea. He says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll cut it to $7 a month. I said, seven sounds good, but you won't get Howard Stern anymore. And I said, fair enough. So I still got all the news channels, the sports, the music. I just don't have Howie Hampton's. Howie Hampton's was going to cost me $30 a month. And I said, nope, sorry, Howie, we're done. So I no longer, for the first time in, I don't know, 25 years, I no longer have Howard Stern on my radio. And, but that's okay. So I'm driving. I was in the car most of the morning, and I put on news channels, CNN, Fox News. I'm listening to the latest, and they play the speech, Joe Biden's speech, in its entirety. And I know I'm very critical of the man. I know he can't make it through. This was a whole new level of incoherence, of just a bumbling and stumbling and embarrassing. I don't know how many people heard it, how many people saw it. It was on a Sunday morning. Perhaps, you know, people were getting ready for football or for U.S. Open tennis or doing whatever. It was a nice, well, not a nice day, but it was, you know, late summer day, late summer Sunday. I recommend you go back and listen to the whole thing. I really do. I was stunned. In fact, they played it twice. I heard it twice. I could not stop listening. I am not exaggerating when I say he did not make it through one sentence, not one sentence, without stumbling or bumbling or lying or losing his way or wandering off stage. It is frightening to me. We know the world's a dangerous place. We're reminded of that today, of all days. This is the man in charge. This is our commander in chief. And I'll say it again. You wouldn't trust him to walk your dog. He couldn't deliver a pizza and get it right. He's got the toughest, most stressful, most important job in the world, and he can't do it. It was unbelievably uncomfortable listening to this. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I'll begin at the end. You don't have to play it. We'll get to it. They cut him off. They shut his mic off, his people, his handlers, his visiting angels, because they didn't want him to answer any more questions. He literally said he was following orders when he took a card out to call on some of the reporters, and they were all pre-selected. They were all questions about China. No questions about his senility, his dementia. No questions about his son about to be indicted. No questions about his bribery scandals. He still has never addressed them. The questions about the bribes he took as sitting vice president no questions about any domestic issue. It was all China and Asia and whatever, because that's what they wanted. They picked the people. They knew they were, the questions they were going to get. They were softballs, of course. He literally told Peter Ducey, "I'm not calling on you. Don't even try." And Ducey's yelling out a question. I'm sure it was a good one, but he didn't want to handle any good ones. This was so uncomfortable, so embarrassing, so humiliating for the country. He starts off by saying, good evening, Vietnam. Good evening. And he said, it's from that old song, Good Morning, Vietnam. That old song? I mean, I guess he went off script, unless the people writing speeches are as dumb as he is. That was a movie, Joe. That wasn't a song. It was a movie. That was Robin Williams screaming, Good Morning, Vietnam. But whatever. And then he told perhaps the dumbest lie of the day, and the story of the dog-faced pony soldier, your lying dog-faced pony soldier. He claims it's from a John Wayne movie. Let's get to this one. He claims he saw it in a John Wayne movie. I think he blamed his brother, too. My brother saw it in a John Wayne movie. Immediately, you know, there's no fact checkers like in the mainstream media, but there's people online on Twitter who check these things. There's no such scene in a John Wayne movie. This is insane. This is a man just completely making up a scene from a movie because he wants to justify using this stupid term, dog-faced pony soldier, while talking to people in Vietnam who I must have been just going, what is he talking? It's just, it's stupid and inappropriate, even if it were accurate. Even if it were in the movie, you'd say this is dumb. It wasn't in the movie. Let's watch, try to make sense of this. Go ahead.
So my brother loves having famous lines in movies that he always quotes. And one of them is there's a movie about John Wayne. He's an Indian scout.
It sounds so bad.
I think it's Apache, one of the great tribes of America back on the reservation. And he's standing with the Indians, so he's in roll arms on their horses in their saddles. And there's three or four Indians in headdresses, and the Union soldiers. The Union soldiers basically saying, Indians, come with me, we'll take care of you, everything will be good. And the Indian scout, the Indian looks at John Wayne and points to the Union soldier and says, he's a lion dog-faced pony soldier. Well, there's a lot of lion dog-faced pony soldiers out there about global warming. But not anymore. All of a sudden, I realize it's
what the hell? That was an answer, I guess, to justify the most ridiculous thing he said in this speech. And we can get to this. He calls global warming the only existential threat we're facing today, including nuclear war. Now, every day there's questions of, will Russia use a nuke? Will Russia has more nukes than any country in the world, and they've threatened to use them. I got a story of a Russian guy who's apparently he's a leader, former military guy, and authority on the Russian military. He says nuclear war. This was from the Daily Mail the other day. Nuclear war is in the inevitable conclusion of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. A Russian general who wrote the nation's war Bible has warned. The chilling forecast came from retired Major General Alexander Vladimirov. He literally writes, the only thing needed, a political decision by Vladimir Putin, and then they will use weapons of mass destruction. So this guy who wrote the war Bible for Russia, this retired general, says nuclear war is inevitable. And a couple of days later, the commander-in-chief of the United States says the freaking weather is the only existential, the warming of the planet is the only existential threat we face. This buffoon is going to drive us into war with Russia. Two nuclear powers where their guy is saying a nuclear conflict is inevitable. No, nothing to see here. Just this fool rambling on about how the temperature is getting warmer, and that's the biggest threat we face. Do you have his answer, or do you have him making the claim that that global warming is our biggest threat?
Yep.
There is more carbon absorbed from the atmosphere.
It sounds so
on a daily basis, and I'll look to my friend John Kerry, who's forgotten more about this than most people know. Correct me if I get this wrong, John, but I'm quite sure I'm right. And that is that there's more carbon absorbed from the air into the Amazon region, into the ground, than admitted in the entire United States on the same basis. Now imagine if people go in and do what we did 250 years ago and cut down the forest and start farming in that area. No longer have that great carbon sink. It would be a gigantic problem. So we should be going to areas, whether it's in the Congo or other places, as the G7 nations and the wealthy G20 nations, and providing the kind of infrastructure they need to be able to benefit. And guess what? In addition to helping the environment overall, and the only existential threat humanity faces, even more frightening than a nuclear war, is global warming going above 1.5 degrees in the next 10 years. And we're in be real trouble. There's no way back.
Oh, God. I mean, even if you're one of these climate change nuts, even if you're John Kerry, that is frightening. He doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. He doesn't know the science. He hasn't the first clue. Absorbing in the Amazon into the carbon, into the ground. And if we did that, and if they do what we do, we got to go to the Congo and, do the, and you're going, Jesus. That went on. Oh, I meant to check how long this speech was.
But I'm going to go to bed.
Joe Biden's rambling Vietnam press conference raises questions, says Newsweek magazine, which is pretty amazing. Raises questions. I would say so. It raises a million questions. Like, how can he possibly last another 16 months? How is that possible? We got him calling for questions. This is amazing. This is a man who's allegedly the president saying he has to follow orders. The first question should be, Mr. President, whose orders? Who is ordering you? Why are you following orders? You're the president, and I don't care if you hate Donald Trump. I hate him like everyone in the mainstream media hates him. He's at least lucid. He's at least healthy. This man is not healthy. This man is frail and weak and sickly. And even when he's able to articulate, he's lying, as he did with the John Wayne movie. Imagine being in Vietnam. We don't even know who John Wayne is, maybe, or people in whatever, Laos or Cambodia, and they're watching this, they're at this press conference, and they're going, what is he talking about? Dog-faced pony soldiers? He's referring to people that don't think global warming is more threatening than nuclear war. You know, those crazy dog-faced pony soldiers. Let's listen as he takes questions. This is so embarrassing. Go ahead.
Now I will take your questions. Let me see. They told me they gave me five people here. Nandita of Reuters.
Thank you for taking my question.
He can't even speak.
Do you have the one where I think it was a couple of questions in when he just wanders off out of the shot away from the podium? Just wanders off in the middle of the question. But then it ends with him rambling. Some answer from one of these selected little stooges in the audience, one of these plants. And he starts answering another question, and his staff or somebody, his handlers, cut off his mic. That's where we are, America. We have people cutting the mic of our president on the international stage. This guy is supposed to be debating Donald Trump or whoever the Republican nominee is debating. He can't do a press conference with five pre-selected plants in the audience without completely breaking down mentally. He's supposed to campaign and debate and run and win and serve another 4 years. I'm sorry. Gavin Newsom said over the weekend, he's not running. Fine. You don't have to run. Somebody has to. Somebody will. This man can't be the nominee. I don't think Kamala Harris can either, but at least she's doesn't have dementia yet. She's dumb. We're going to get to Kamala in her her thoughts on 9/11. Let's watch Joe Biden wrap up this rambling press conference in Vietnam, and then make the only honest comment he made, saying, "I need to go to bed." Good.
Well, we talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
He is a mess.
He's trying to answer a question. If you're just listening, he's trying to answer a question. The mic is off, and he looks so lost. And I understand. I'm sure the media will be covering this up, as they always do, and pretending whatever. He's just tired. Long trip, long trip on Air Force One, which is more comfortable than anybody's bedroom that I know. You'd sleep the whole way. But he was tired. Jet lag, a little jet lag. That's they'll do all day today on MSNBC. They'll talk about how he is. His staff, they can't even keep up with him. He's so energetic. Ken JP says, just try to keep up with him. Joe Biden says, watch me. We're watching, Joe. We are watching. And it is frightening.
But I'm going to go to bed.
There he is. That's what he said to a reporter before they cut off his mic. I'm going to go to bed. You're supposed to be projecting strength on the international stage. Our allies, our fellow NATO members are supposed to look to you and say, he's got our back. That's the US of A, man. We got nothing to worry about. You have this corrupt old scoundrel who can't make it to a press conference with a friendly group of reporters talking about global warming. Oh, Jesus. I highly recommend that you watch this whole speech. If you're not worried about this country yet, watch this speech. You will be. And by the way, maybe he's not marking 9/11. Maybe he's not appearing anywhere because of what he did 2 years ago. Maybe the fact that the sacrifice everybody made in Afghanistan, the soldiers we lost, was all for naught. We handed the country back to the Taliban, who we attacked because they were protecting Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. We handed the country back to them and gave them $85 billion in advanced U.S. weaponry. We lost. We surrendered. This disgrace to the office surrendered to the Taliban 2 years ago. And maybe he's smart to hide and stay in bed and sleep and stay in Alaska and head to whatever, India. And continue to embarrass the United States. All right, before we move on from 9/11, I don't know why I do this to myself. I really don't. I mean, this day is important. I like this day. I like keeping the memory alive of all these people. I like mentioning their names. I like the way they do it. It's a very classy way they handle things at 9/11. I'm heading there in a couple of weeks. I was there 22 years ago in November or December. Went down to Ground Zero, but I've yet to see the whole revamped memorial. I'm heading there. I'll be a mess when I go there. This was an incredible, devastating day for all of us, except the buffoon in the White House. But and I'm watching the Shanksville, Pennsylvania ceremony as we speak. A lot of really well done, thoughtful, sensitive, solemn remembrances. And then you have this person who is more likely, I think, to be president in a year and a half than the fool we just watched. this woman has no soul. Doesn't have much of a brain either, but she has no soul. They never let a crisis, a tragedy go to waste. They've used 9/11 for any number of reasons, but one is to compare to January 6th. It's hard to believe someone actually did that. I mean, I know there's crazy people online that, you know, crazy left-wingers who hate Trump and they want to make it a bigger deal than it was. A three-hour riot in the Capitol where over 1,000 people were arrested, where 600 are in jail, where a guy went to prison for 22 years for rooting them on, cheering them on, which, by the way, is exactly what Kamala Harris did during the BLM riots. She rooted them on. She cheered them on. She said they will not stop and they shouldn't stop. The people who burned neighborhoods, who killed people, who injured 2,000 cops, who caused $2 billion in damages, who tore this country apart, were egged on by this woman who gave to the bail fund for the rioters, for the looters, for the Antifa scum in Minneapolis, gave to their bail funds. Violent criminals. She's not doing 22 years. No, but the Proud Boy guy is. Wasn't in the city of D.C. on January 6th. Wasn't there. He's doing 22 years. The guy who grabbed the fence, this guy Joe Biggs, grabbed the fence, pulled the fence down, doing 17 years. It's you know, we are in a scary place in this country, but listen to the woman who is, again, I think more likely to be president than the guys in office right now. She's the vice president. Gavin Newsom said he is getting out of the way, that it's her job for the taking if Joe Biden can't do it. Let's remind you what she had to say about 9/11 a year ago. Go ahead.
Not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941. September 11th. 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
Oh, what a vile human being. What a disgusting thing to say. December 7th, I believe the death toll was 2,300 and something. December, Americans attacked in an act of war by Imperial Japan, killing thousands of Americans. 9/11, Islamic terrorist attack, killing more than 3,000 innocent Americans, and January 6th, where one person was killed. Ashley Babbitt, U.S. Air Force veteran, shot in the neck by some rogue cop. One person. They did some damage. They broke some windows. They had some fights with some cops. None of the cops died. Only people who died were Trump supporters. And she compares that to what bin Laden, what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did on that day. And by the way, the Biden administration does not want to execute Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's been in prison for 20 years or 19 years. And he's never even been put on trial because he's got all these crazy Democrat lawyers defending him. And they don't want to execute him. They want to make a deal. Just life in prison, you know, we'll make it all go away. That's how much they care about the victims. Has anyone ever deserved the death penalty more than Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? But no, these friggin' people, these ideologues who are in control of our country right now do not want to put that animal down. And I got to breathe. I can't stand. They're just on this day, these two, I mean, they're just terrible people. They're just shameless, shallow, soulless people. But on this day, it is worse.
I do want to say before we move off Kamala, you said she doesn't have soul, but we found out over the weekend she's got plenty. Oh,
that's true. Celebrating 50 years of hip hop, and here is Kamala dancing the day away.
This is at the White House, I believe.
I think it is. I think it's at the White House. She had a hip hop party at the White House. Everyone wants to get in a little dance. Look at the poor Secret Service agent. He's sitting there going, God, I got to protect. No one's going to hurt her. Who wants to hurt her? She's just so... She just can't stop embarrassing this country. She really can't. How was she even vice president? I don't know how, but how does she even win election in anything in California? It's just such an awful.
that always blows my mind is she was polling so bad that she dropped out of the race almost immediately, and Joe Biden picked her still after she trashed him.
She was below 1%, and she pulled out before California, her home state. Mm-hmm. And during the debate, she called Joe Biden a racist and a misogynist, and you know, and
she believed his quote victims.
Oh, that's right. She believed the victim. So he was a sexual predator and a racist who, and she accused him of that in the debates, and he still picked her. Just incredible. All right, we got to move. We got to get to the NFL. Big day. The NFL is so great. Tonight, we get the Jets, the Bills at the Jets. We get Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen tonight. I can't wait. Congratulations to Djokovic, who won the U.S. Open, the pure blood. I watched tennis for like a half an hour last. That's the first time I've watched tennis in like since McEnroe or Jimmy Connors. But I was just, both guys in the finals are unvaccinated. Both guys weren't allowed into this country a year or 2 years ago because they're unvaccinated. The healthiest guys in the world. Congratulations to Djokovic. Great win. 23 majors. The greatest player ever. And I couldn't be happier for him. We'll get to the Tom Brady ceremony, which I thought was well done, but I got some questions about that. And Elon Musk is in trouble with the media, because the media, of course, is state-run media. They support the deep state. They support the security state, and they're not happy because Jake Tapper didn't want a nuclear war. I mean, because Elon Musk didn't want a nuclear war. Jake Tapper's not happy with him. We'll tell you all about that. It's a fascinating story, and Musk is just a fascinating man. We'll get to all that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
Imagine this. It's the dead of the night. You're lying in bed. Suddenly you hear something go bump. What's your next move? Well, you reach for the ultimate solution, the new MC14T tip-up pistol from EAA Corp and Gersan. This game-changing firearm is perfect for those with limited hand strength, disabilities, or anyone seeking a comfortable and user-friendly alternative. Picture this. The MC14T features an ingenious tip-up barrel design, making loading and unloading a breeze. Say goodbye to struggles while racking a slide. Just load the tip-up barrel, lock it back down, and you're ready to fire. The MC14T is chambered in 380 ACP, boasting a 13+1 round capacity. With its reliable stopping power and compact size, it's an excellent choice for personal defense, complete with accessory rail and ambidextrous safeties. Experience a new level of convenience, available with all EAA Corp distributors, starting at an incredibly affordable MSRP of just $498. Don't miss out on this game-changing firearm. Visit EAAcorp.com today. That's EAACorp.com. If you're not paying attention to this, you really should, because again, despite what our president said, nuclear war is a much more likely reality than whatever the temperature going up 1.2 degrees or whatever Biden said in the next. He goes 1.5 degrees in the next 5 years. He doesn't even know. He has no idea what global warming even is. He just knows it's politically expedient. It is a political goal. It has nothing to do with the weather or the climate. He knows it gives him more control, and that's all he wants, more money and more control. Plus, his handlers are pushing it hard. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you flat out, it is a fact that nuclear war is a much more likely scenario, a much more existential threat. So the Ukrainians were fixing to blow up the Russian fleet in Crimea. And that would have led to a nuclear response, according to a Russian official who told Musk this. Musk, according to a new biography by Walter Isaacson, who was like hanging with Musk for like the last 2 years. I can't believe Musk even let him do it. But the book's coming out. It's going to be huge. They're already humping it big time on MSNBC and CNN. They're hoping this hurts Musk. They hate Musk because Musk restored free speech to some extent, to Twitter, the only social media platform that has any semblance of free speech. By the way, someone posted the video of the towers going down, of the planes going into the towers and the towers crashing, and they said, Only Twitter will allow you to post this. The other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, they won't allow that video. The video from 9/11. So God bless Musk. It's a whole different world with Twitter being mostly free speech, a free speech platform. But he gave the Ukrainians the Starlink system because Russia took down their internet at the beginning of the war. So he gave them 42,000 terminals, Starlink terminals, so they would have internet. They were going to use Starlink to orchestrate this attack on the Russian fleet. Devastating. He disabled Starlink to avoid nuclear war. That pissed off all the warmongers in the media, all the warmongers in Washington. They want war with Russia. They want to escalate it, just keep it going. No end in sight. That's the goal. And they like to say, we're with you as long as it takes. As long as it takes to get us into a major hot war with Russia, for whatever reason, the media is cheering it on. Musk said no. Musk said not doing it. Good for him. This took balls. He is he's heroic for this. He is a hero for making sure they didn't escalate the war to the point where Russia would use a nuke. That's what the Russian official told him. He was working behind the scenes. He was talking to Blinken and Jake Sullivan and telling them what he was going to do. And they're obviously have a problem with it. They were hoping to blow up the Russian fleet, and then Russia would fire a nuke in Ukraine, and it'd be on. That was what they want. Musk to the rescue. But listen to this snake, Jake Tapper, talking to Anthony Blinken. He wants repercussions for Elon Musk. This guy, when you think of what he's done, I mean, he's an American. He's made electric cars cool. You know, they all want their Teslas. He's sending rockets up to space. He wants to get to Mars. He's restored free speech to social media. He's just done amazing things. And they want the government to come after him because he wouldn't help them escalate the war. Listen to this interview with this absolute weasel, Jake Tapper and Anthony Blinken. Go ahead.
SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has recently confirmed a report that's in Walter Isaacson's new biography of Musk that last year Musk blocked access to his Starlink satellite network in Crimea in order to disrupt a major Ukrainian attack on the Russian Navy there. In other words, Musk effectively sabotaged a military operation by Ukraine, a U.S. ally, against Russia, an aggressor country that invaded a U.S. ally. Should there be repercussions for that?
Jake, I can't speak to a specific episode. Here's what I can tell you. Starlink has been a vital tool for the Ukrainians to be able to communicate with each other, and particularly for the military to communicate in their effort to defend all of Ukraine's territory. It remains so, and I would expect it to continue to be critical to their efforts. So what we would hope and expect is that technology will remain fully available to the Ukrainians. It is vital to what they're doing.
I don't know that you can't speak to it. You won't speak to it. Musk says he was reportedly afraid that Russia would retaliate with nuclear weapons. Musk says that's based on his private discussions he had with senior Russian officials. Are you concerned that Musk is apparently conducting his own diplomatic outreach to the Russian government? Really, none of this concerns you?
Jake, I can't speak to conversations that may or may not have happened. I don't know. I'm focused on the fact that the technology itself, Starlink, has been really important for the Ukrainians. It remains so. And it should continue to be part of what they're able to call on to be able to communicate with themselves and, again, to have the military be able to communicate. Throughout this Russian aggression, we ourselves have always had to factor in what Russia may do in response to any given thing that we or others do or the Ukrainians do, and we have. But what's so critical now is that Ukraine has had real success over the past year. I was just in Ukraine, as you know. The last time I was there was almost exactly a year ago. In that year, from the last time I was there till this week, the Ukrainians have retaken more than 50% of the territory seized by Russia since February of 2022. They're now engaged in a critical counteroffensive. And we're doing everything we can to maximize our support for them, along with many other countries.
Oh, shut up. Honest to God. I mean, is there anyone in this administration who's just not uncomfortably over their head? I mean, they're just out of their league and over their head. That's the guy who's going to get us into World War III. And they're not happy. Musk is pushing back. Musk wrote on Twitter, the obvious intent being to sink most of the Russian fleet. If I had agreed to their request, then SpaceX would be explicitly complicit in a major act of war and conflict escalation. And then Musk, do you have his statement? I think it was today or yesterday, when all these people were calling him, you know, whatever, a traitor and consorting with Russia. The guy, Ukrainian probably already would have lost the war if Musk hadn't given them the Starlink system. And now they're pissed that he's using it because he doesn't want a nuclear war. These people are shameless. And they're coming after him. I just watched a segment on MSNBC with Walter Isaacson. They're talking about, is he mentally ill? Is Musk mentally ill? Al Sharpton comes on and says he thinks he's bipolar. Al Sharpton is diagnosing Elon Musk from a TV studio and declaring him bipolar and on the spectrum. These people are shameless, and they're going to just...
Musk has come out and said himself that he has autism.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think that... That means he's bipolar?
No, no, that's just the reason that we have all the cool shit that he's made.
I mean, there's, you know, maybe he's on the spectrum for autism, but first I heard he was bipolar, and I heard it from Al Sharpton, Dr. Al Sharpton. but is this Musk's recent statement?
Yeah. For the this is the one from Friday. Is that what you were looking for, or is there one over the weekend?
Oh, yeah, this is what we did. We did this one the other day. Both sides should agree to a truce. Every day that passes, more Ukrainian and Russian youth die to gain and lose small pieces of land with borders barely changing. This is not worth their lives. Why does it take Musk, a private citizen, to make that declaration when every Democrat and most Republicans are cheering the death of thousands of kids over land, over the Donbass region? Somehow that's in our best interest. It's just insane, utterly insane. This guy is a hero, and they're going to come after him hard. This book's going to come out. They're going to cherry pick a few things, and they're going to, you know, come after him hard. They want the government. The media wants the government to investigate a private citizen, to, you know, essentially arrest and stop a private citizen. All right. It's just getting started between all the warmongers and Musk. We'll be watching. All right, let's get to the NFL, Ironhead. I want to say the Patriots game. All right, you want me to do Shea, and then we'll do some NFL. And I'll tell you why Dak Prescott will never win a Super Bowl. I don't care if he won last night, if he destroyed the Giants. And boy, that was a bummer. I was looking forward to a good Sunday night game. We didn't get one, but we got a lot of other good games, and we have one tonight, I think. We'll get to all that we already made our predictions for tonight, didn't we? Is the Jets Bills one of the games we picked?
Yeah, I picked the Jets. You picked the Bills.
Oh, I picked the Bills. Oh, good.
I believe.
Let me do Shea. We'll get to all that.
Excuse me.
As you know, Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed at your home. This is your spring project, people. If you're building a new home or remodeling or replacing an old staircase, Shea has great values on designs that will fit your home. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. Make your front steps the talk of the town, and do it now. Do it this spring. No reason not to. You know that removing the stairs is a pain. They're heavy. They're awkward. And where do you take them when you get rid of them? Shea will take care of all that for you. They leave it to them. When they're done, you'll have a great-looking new entrance that will add value to your home. It's more than an upgrade. It's an investment. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you'll get a brand new front entrance. Learn more at SheaConcrete.com. And while you're there, you can look for a job. Shea Concrete is hiring. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people and skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. That's it. Go to SheaConcrete.com. All right, I picked the Patriots. I was wrong. Patriots lost, but, and I don't want to say moral victories, but I thought they were going to get rolled, just blown out. We told you the other day, Andrew Brandt, the former Packers exec, who's now with, I don't know what he's with. Who does he, is he Sports Illustrated? I don't know, but he's a pretty respected analyst. He's predicting the Eagles will go undefeated, will go 20-0. He doesn't think they'll lose a game. He thinks they're the best team, the most balanced team. The Patriots kicked their ass for the last three quarters of that game. The Eagles had a total of 17 first downs. Jalen Hurts didn't make one damn big play in the whole game. Lots of people are picking Hurts to be the MVP. He made the biggest mistake of the game when he coughed up the ball when they're trying to run out the clock. But he was outplayed by Mac Jones. The Patriots defense is really, really good. Really good. And they're going to win games just from deep. They're going to win 20-17 games, 23-20 games. But I was impressed with the day Mac Jones had. I thought they would just kind of get crushed. It was 16-0 before half the people were in their seats. It looked like they were just going to fold on Tom Brady day, which brings me to the greatest player in NFL history, the greatest player in American team sport history, retired. Came back for a ceremony, and they didn't show it on TV. It wasn't on TV. Can someone explain that to me? I asked that on Twitter, and people say, oh, the rights. This is different. This isn't just an average guy. This is Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan retiring. You know, this is Bobby Orr retiring. And they don't show the 10-minute ceremony. I thought it was well done. I like it when it's simple. No, you know, fireworks and great video. It's just he runs on the field with his Brady jersey, pumps his fist, waves to the crowd, spoke for 10 minutes. They took the stage down and played the second half. I thought it was well done. I don't know why they did it on opening day and not like, you know, 3 weeks from now, but I thought it was well done. You had to go to whatever, Channel 38 later in the day to see it or go to, I guess, to patriots.com or something. Most people didn't see it. The greatest player ever is honored. At, you know, by the team for whom he won 6 Super Bowls, and we didn't see it. Just strange. We got to hear Nate Burleson break down the first half of the Cleveland, Cincinnati game instead. Why? Why? Isn't their job to give the viewers what they want? If they did that at halftime, if they showed the Brady speech, there'd be 10 times more people watching than watched for Bill Cowher and Nate Burleson break down a half, a first half. Did not get it, but it was an impressive comeback. They couldn't finish the job, but I thought it was an impressive comeback for the Patriots. The Bengals, Burrow, my pick to win it all, were just rolled by Cleveland. That was incredible. So Kansas City and Cincinnati are both 0-1. And tonight, Bills at Jets. The NFL is such a great product. It's a Monday night. You're sitting back and you're going, oh, good. I get to watch Aaron Rodgers go against Josh Allen. And I picked the Bills, so I'm gonna root for him. I mean, I like Rodgers, but it's just going to ruin. I mean, Jets fans are obnoxious, as we know, from Montante and, you know, Mike Greenberg. Yeah. And there's lots of phonies out there root for the Jets. It's great to see their pain, their anguish. So it will be fun to see the Bills go into New York and win. But Dak Prescott won last night. What was the final of this game?
40-0.
40-0. It was over before the second quarter. It was just a beatdown. Before that happened, before the game, and I was going to do this if no matter what happened last night, I was going to say, I don't think Dak Prescott's going to win a Super Bowl. And you want to know my absolutely inane, idiotic, stupid reason? Dak Prescott went under anesthesia for 11 hours to get a tattoo.
I don't blame him at all for that.
And by the way, can you get the tattoo? Get the tattoo up. I think I sent you the pictures, the story it. With a picture. It's incredible. This is, I mean, if you're whatever, just a guy, if you're driving a truck or something and or whatever, you're a rock and roll, you're a hip hop guy. That's one thing. I always think that NFL quarterback, the great ones are obsessed with the job. They don't do other things. They just live, eat, breathe. That's what Peyton Manning did. That's what Tom Brady did. They just are driven and they are obsessed and they are completely focused. The idea that you would go under anesthesia so some guy could do some ridiculous drawing on your leg seems so bizarre. They asked Jerry Jones about it. They asked his coach about it. Prescott told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, said, people are going to think it's crazy, and it is crazy. I get that, but I'm crazy. But my point is, I am. My point is, I am. I know I am. I'm not afraid of nothing. You're not afraid of nothing. So it honors, it has his mother on there who passed away, his brother who committed suicide a couple of years ago, but it also has Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Kobe Bryant, and Daffy Duck.
And it looks like Marilyn Monroe too.
Right. Oh yeah, Marilyn Monroe's on there too. But what? You spent 11 hours getting Daffy Duck? That's a leg we're looking at. Mm. That is his leg. I'm sorry. I'm not saying he should have been in the film room, but you know what? Do this when you retire. You got a lot of pressure on you, man. You make $40 million a year. You're the Cowboys quarterback. It just seems like a strange way to spend an entire day. I mean, I've had surgery, like knee surgery, and before you get put under, you ask yourself, do I really need this, you know?
Right.
Could I just limp? Because it is scary going under anesthesia. You don't know if you're going to wake up. Imagine going under anesthesia for a tattoo. Strange choice. I like the guy. He seems like a good guy, and he's a fun guy to watch. And maybe they're for real. Maybe they're, you know, Super Bowl caliber, and maybe this is his year. But it just seems like a weird, strange, odd way to spend your day.
I can't blame him for the move. As someone who, I don't have any tattoos, I've wanted to get a few, but I am petrified of needles. So
yeah, well,
it sounds like a good idea to me.
I don't have any. I have no intention of getting any. I respect guys. You know what's cool now? Not being tattooed. Like if you're not tattooed, that's cool. That's the rebel move.
Not tattooed, you know? Not vaxxed. I got to get tattooed, double.
Not tattooed, not vaxxed. Pure blood, no tats, you know. Tattoos. People with tats now look like followers. They look like the ones who are just following the crowd. The ones without them are the rebels. That's, you see, NFL guy, NBA guy, he's got no tats. You say that's a guy who's not succumbing to peer pressure. That's, I respect it.
That's spoken like a guy who doesn't have tattoos that secretly wants one, I think.
No, you know, if I, no, I don't. I'm too old anyway. My son doesn't have any either, which I'm pretty happy about.
What would you get if you had to get one?
I would get, I'd get a special forces, like a Navy SEAL tattoo.
So, get free drinks.
Hey, right. Right. It's not illegal, right? I could do that. Say death from above, you know, have my Navy SEAL, whatever insignia.
Yeah.
Just, people say, you're a Navy SEAL. No, I just like this. Makes more sense than Daffy Duck.
I thought the trident was pretty cool.
You know, I think I would do like just a heart that says mom with like an arrow through it.
Classic.
Old school.
Classic.
Old school. Yeah.
You got, you just got to get the anchor on your forearm.
Yeah, get the anchor. I don't like colored tattoos, like all the different reds and greens and blues. I like the old school. You know, tattoo, I mean, an anchor or my, you know, death from airborne. I'd have my airborne tattoo on there. So people, you know,
I just like
Joe Biden.
I just like skydiving.
Have you ever seen Hunter Biden's tattoos? He has the Finger Lakes from New Hampshire on his back.
Does he really?
Entire like map of the Finger Lakes. It's the ugliest, stupidest tattoo until Daffy Duck that I've ever seen. But all right, we got to leave it there on this 9/11. Take some time, watch the ceremonies, listen to the names, listen to the stories. They're great. Read up on the four guys: Todd Beamer, Mark Bingham, Jeremy Glick, Tom Burnett, who saved the Capitol or the White House. These are the real heroes. This is what this day is about. Our president's still in bed in Alaska, but take some time, read the stories, just appreciate what these heroes did on this day. But we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
God save the Queen, man.
Lost their dear loved ones. Pray for the ones who don't know. Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died?
Hi, it's Tony Marino, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast, your daily news bulletin of Newsmax's top headlines, along with commentary from our hosts and experts. You can learn more about all of the free podcasts, including Newsmax Daily, Rob Carson, and Jerry Callahan at newsmax.com/listen.